Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word once again and to study it. Help us to understand the lessons that we can learn from the things of the past so we can adjust our lives today to better walk the pathway you have us to walk. And let us always bring honor and glory to you. Thank you so much for the opportunity as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Exploring the Word series in 2 Kings, picking it back up here in chapter 14. And it reads, in the second year of Joash, son of Jehoaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You don't hear a whole lot of this, but this one, you hear more of the ones that are the leaders of Judah doing what is right in the sight of the Lord than those that were the leaders of Israel at this time. But note here also, yet not like David his father. He wasn't completely obedient, but or as obedient as David, because even David himself wasn't completely obedient. He did according to all things of Joash his father did, howbeit the high places were not taken away, as yet the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places. These high places they're talking about are those that were put there for the worship of the pagan gods and for the worship of Baal that Jezebel and Ahab had established in the area, and then it had overflowed and even gotten into Judah, and they did that as well in Judah. And had these areas for the pagan religions. And we can see this in this country, where this country allows all kinds of paganism and ungodly behavior, and even lifts it up and promotes it sometimes. And then they wonder why we're not being blessed in the way that the Lord would like to bless this country because of the great number of Christians that are here. But it's sad that so many of us, yet so silent. But let's get back into this, verse 5. And it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants, which had slain the king, his father. If you remember, his father was doing quite well. And then his servants, for some reason, didn't really explain it here in 2 Kings, decided to take him out. So they killed him, but now his son steps up in his stead and takes over the throne and goes ahead and kills those that killed his father. But it continues in verse 6. He could have expanded this to the entire families of those that had created this conspiracy and had killed his father, but he didn't. In verse 6 we see, but the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. This awesome verse here that assures us and lets us know that you are accountable of your own actions. And verse 7, he slew of Edom in the valley of Salt 10,000, and took Selah by war, and called the name of it Jokthiel unto this day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us look one another in the face. This was a challenge that he actually put out. Amaziah was starting to be puffed up a little bit, getting a little bit arrogant. So he puts out a challenge to Israel, saying, let's, me and you, face to face. So it was a personal challenge, and he didn't know what he was going up against, as we see in verse 9. And Jehoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife, And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trod down the thistle. He's calling Amaziah the thistle as being he's nothing more than a weed. And he himself, Jehoash, saying that he is the great cedar and that he best not be challenging the great cedar since he's just a little weed. Thou hast indeed smitten Edom. It's like, okay, you did do a little battle down here, but now you've puffed yourself up as being something. Thou hast indeed smitten Edom, and thine heart hath lifted thee up. Glory in this, and tarry at home. Like, have your little moment, but stay where you're at, because you're not going to achieve what you think you're going to if you come up against me. For why shouldest thou meddle in thy hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? Let him know, giving him a warning. Don't be puffed up. Don't be coming into a fight that you can't handle. But Amaziah would not hear. Therefore, Jehoash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, looked one another in the face at Bethshemesh, which belongeth to Judah. So he'd come on into the challenge. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to their tents. And they lost. In verse 13, and Jehoash, king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Amaziah, at Bethshemesh, and came to Jerusalem, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate, 400 cubits. So he took him, means he conquered him, and tore down their defenses, the walls there. And he took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and hostages and returned to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, which he did in his might, and how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So if you want more details on this event and so forth, go over to Chronicles and you can see some more. But he hits the highlights here and lets us know that Ahaziah had this attitude, puffed up, went up against somebody he shouldn't have been going up against. And it cost him and his people. He didn't go down. He didn't die in that battle. As we continue, we find he's still around after this battle, but he sure messed things up. In verse 16, and Jehoash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel, and Jeroboam, his son, reigned in his stead. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. The rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Now they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent after him in Lachish and slew him there. So the people were upset with him. They hunted him down and killed him. And they brought him on horses, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his fathers in the city of David. And all the people of Judah took Azariah, which was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. Note here, one of those points again in verse 23, how they back up the timeline a little bit and then catch up on a few things, because you have the events taking place concerning Judah, and you have the events taking place concerning Israel, and then sometimes they go into the details of the ones of Judah, And then, well, wow, this was also going on. This other thing was going on in Israel. So that's why it backs up sometimes, because we know Amaziah is already dead, but then it's talking about an event that took place before he died. So you got to be careful with that when you're trying to do your timeline or your study on what happened when and in what order. Continuing in verse 24. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And he departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. So once again, ungodly behavior. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gathapher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said, not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did and his might, how he warred and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belongeth to Judah for Israel, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And Jeroboam slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel, and Zechariah his son reigned in his stead. So over and over we see the different events and how this is all unfolded, and these kings and what they've done, and the battles and the conflicts and the disobedience and the blessings and the grace that pours upon them, even when they don't deserve it, because of the promises that God made to Abraham and his descendants. Rolling right into chapter 15. Chapter 15 is filled with just one after another event of one ruler of Judah, of Israel, and the conflicts, and that they were doing good or not doing good, and so forth, as we get into this in chapter 15. In the 70th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign. If you note, this is going back, talking about some that we've already, the timeline of what we've already covered in 14. So let's, instead of reading this entire chapter verse by verse, I want to hit a few highlights just to let you know what was going on. So we'll just skip on down to verse 5. And the Lord smote the king so that he slept. And the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper to the day of his death, because he did not clear out the things that he was supposed to remove, the high places, the pagan areas. And he dwelt in a several house. A several house is a separate dwelling for the lepers, so he went amongst the community. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house. That means he was the ruler instead. Not officially, but he did all the interactions with the people under the guidance of Amaziah, but he wasn't actually the king. And the rest of the acts of Azariah, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? All right, and then you go on down to Shelem. Here's the next one here, you see. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. All right, let's skip on over to 14. Menahem, the son of Gadi, and he actually only reigned for about a month. He stirred up a lot of trouble. And then in verse 16, then Menahem smote Tifsa and all that were therein, and the coast thereof from Tirzah, because they opened not to him. Therefore he smote it, and all the women therein that were with child he ripped up. Unusual behavior that he did there, but that's why that's noted in there. All right, and then go on down. You have one named Pul, P-U-L, king of Assyria, came up against Menahem. And Menahem bribed him to not take over or to battle against him any further. So he took the bride and backed off. All right, and then you go on down to Azariah still in verse 23 and in 27, Azariah. And then we've got one here. Let's pick it up in verse 27. In the 2 and 15th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel in Samaria and reigned 20 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. You just see this over and over. And then on down in verse 32, in the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Unusual. But yet we have one finally popping up again here that is doing right in the sight of the Lord. And note also that he is in the area of Judah, in Jerusalem, and so forth. To all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not removed. Once again, generation after generation, these folks come in, they take the throne of either Israel or Judah, and either do evil in the sight of the Lord, or do okay in the sight of the Lord, but still leave the pagan areas of worship in place. This is in verse 35 again. Howbeit, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still in the high places. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So we see that they had such awesome opportunities to get the full blessings of God. But yet they didn't take it. They didn't clean house, like the Lord told them to do when they entered into the promised land. Yet generation after generation, you have them repeating the same mistakes over and over and over. That's why it's important that we study history, the history all the way back in the scriptures, as well as the history in our own country, more recent history as well. Things that we can look around and see and learn from. Yet way too many times, it's just over and over, people are repeating the same bad mistakes, same bad behavior over and over. The old adage that experience is the best teacher. If you complete that, it's experience is the best teacher, especially when it's someone else's. If you can learn from someone else's experience and not have to go through that experience yourself, you've benefited from it more so than having to go through that bad experience in order to learn a lesson. Where we can see the experiences of the people in the past, how that they just partially commit themselves to the Lord. Not completely. Like, okay, I'll give you this much. You know, I'll give you 10%. Everybody likes the 10% thing. So I'm only going to give you 10% of myself. 10% of my time. 10% of my money. And okay, that's your part. The rest of it's mine. And you just go out and do all these ungodly things. We see this so often in so-called Christians. So-called Christians that claim that they're Christians and come to church and sing and teach or do whatever. And then you, well, this day's with Facebook, you can sure check it out on Facebook, see their activities, their behaviors. And those, they got this tracking thing now on Facebook. It pops up, tells people where they're at. Oh, yeah, they're down here celebrating the wine fest, or they're over here at the opening of a brewery, or they're cussing on the Facebook or something. And then, no, they're coming to church, shaking hands. Like they're Christians. They're only partial. They only gave a little bit. They're not fully committed. Just as we see with these folks. They were not fully committed to be the chosen children of God. All right, let's get right into 16. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. Once again, another one. messing up. Didn't do what he was supposed to do. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his sons to pass through the fire. This term, pass through the fire, was he actually sacrificed his kids to the pagan gods. Today, with abortion, as easily available as it is, they're doing the same thing in that. They're sacrificing their children to their God, which is their convenience, their schedule, their time, their financial situation, their relationship. It was like, okay, well, I ain't really ready for a kid right now. I think I'll just murder this one and give my attention to my career or whatever. Or in this case, they were sacrificing it to their pagan gods. In the same sense, abortion, they're sacrificing it to whatever they have lifted up more important than obeying God and not murdering your child. So the behaviors is nothing new. Abominations have gone on for all the way back to the garden. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and he made his sons to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drave the Jews from Elath. And the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which raise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Uriah, the priest, fashioned of the altar, the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship thereof. Uriah, the priest, built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Uriah, the priest, made it against King Ahaz, came from Damascus. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached to the altar and offered thereon. And he burnt his burnt offering and his meat offering and poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings upon the altar. And he brought also the brazen altar which was before the Lord from the forefront of the house from between the altar and the house of the Lord and put it on the north side of the altar. And King Ahaz commanded Uriah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burnt the morning burnt offering and the evening meat offering and the king's burnt sacrifice and his meat offerings with the burnt offering of all the people of the land and their meat offering and their drink offerings and sprinkled upon it the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice and the brazen altar shall be for me to inquire by. Thus did Uriah the priest according to all the king has commanded. So you finally hear somebody doing the kind of rituals that they were instructed to be doing. Verse 17, and King Ahaz cut off the borders of the bases and removed the laver from off them and took down the sea from off and the brazen oxen from that were under it and put it upon the pavement of stones and the covert for the Sabbath that they had built in the house, and the king's entry without turned he from the house of the Lord for the king of Assyria. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaz, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And Ahaz slept with his fathers and was buried with the fathers in the city of David, and Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. It goes right on into 17 here, which we won't have time to get into. But you see this going back and forth, and some people being obedient, some people not being obedient, never being fully and completely obedient. And the only thing that has spared them from being completely wiped out by God was His promise given to the children of Israel by way of Abraham and his descendants, that He would preserve them as being a peculiar people, a chosen people. They will be preserved even in their disobedience through all the years, because we have the prophecies of their importance now and in the last days as well. And the 144,000 that will be sealed after the rapture during the tribulation time. The nation of Israel will be protected, will be preserved and blessed, even in the midst of their disobedience, just as we are. Because we are under the time of grace now, which is awesome. Because if we were under the time of judgment, I don't think anybody that I know would be alive, because of the wrath of God that could come upon us if it wasn't for His grace and His mercy that He pours upon us every day, which is awesome. But we got to understand that we can learn from these folks of the past and from our own past. We can look back. If we was really study our own past and see that how things have done for us, when we were doing really good and when we were not doing so good, and look at our lives, when were we the most obedient? When were we the closest to God? And what came upon us when? And many times you can see that it was a result of something that you yourself did. Not all the time, but many times it was because of something you did. And it's a form of chastisement to come upon you. Or a little bit less blessings because of something you did wrong. But don't get me wrong. Sometimes something comes upon you as a challenge, as a building block for you, a mountain for you to climb so you can get stronger and so you can use it to bring honor and glory to the Lord. So don't be mistaken that every bad thing comes upon you is because of some disobedience that you've done. Because sometimes there are opportunities for us to bring honor and glory to the Lord. But in here we see how these folks missed out on so much because of their disobedience. So we know if we can be completely and fully committed to the Lord, that He will bless us the way He wants to bless us. And we won't miss out on what He has in store for us. So let's learn from that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Even histories that so far back can help us learn how to walk today. We thank You so much for that. Help us to always stay hungry, to dig deep into Your Scriptures and study it from the beginning all the way through the end, so that we can be the kind of people You want us to be. To be that peculiar people, to stand out from the world and be different, to bring honor and glory to You in everything that we do. Help us to shine You and Your love through us to everyone that we encounter, that it all bring honor and glory to You. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name.